Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So with the Bruins being done, Alex Cora said before the game on Thursday, it's our stage now. And through an inning and a half, it looked like they had gone up there on that stage and forgotten every single lyric, played their guitars horribly out of tune. But in the end, which is always a nice place to have it, Boston wins the game. And if it sounds like I'm recording this from a casino in the desert in an Indian reservation, you're exactly right. More on that and the ball game in just a moment. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing.
All right, I've moved away from the casino floor so I can tell this story better and tell you how the Red Sox came from down 6-1 to win 7-6. Josh Lewin with you. Important things here. The Red Sox, for some reason, now 10-1 their last 11 getaway days. That's pretty impressive. Being down 5 runs in the second inning and coming back to win, I don't care if it takes 407 and takes 212 pitches, but these things did happen, and yes, it complicated things for me personally that the game took 407. Okay, here's the story. Here's the deal. I'm out here in California. I'm not with the team again for another week or so. Some of you might know I live out in San Diego, and this was the night that we had tickets, the wife and I, to go to Pala Casino and Resort. Yeah, and resort, way out in the freaking desert, about an hour and a half away from where we live in San Diego. It's an Indian reservation casino, and foreigners playing, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to go see foreigner? I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. So this got complicated because Mick Jones, for whatever reason, is not with the band. And that's kind of like going to see the Rolling Stones and there's no Jagger. You know, I mean, that's just, not that I'm some foreigner expert, but I at least know that part. So we were already kind of bummed about that. The wife is half drunk already, walking around and just playing slots and you know, just kind of waiting for the band. And I figured that even if this game took 3 hours, I could do this podcast before the opening act. At the very least. No, 407. So right now, as I'm recording this, I think she's listening to Double Vision while playing slots. I'm losing a lot of money out here. So since we're in this kind of casino mode, this game began that the first five half innings with a straight. 0-1-2-3-4 were the number of runs scored in the first five half innings. Four for Texas in the top of the first. We'll get back to that in a moment. Red Sox back with one. Then it was two for the Rangers in the top of the second. Three for Boston on a Jackie Bradley Jr. home run. 6-4 after two. Yeah. No wonder this game took 407. But eventually, the Red Sox would win it. Now, I'll take you through a little bit of it. First of all, David Price just didn't have it. It took him 21 minutes before he got the first out. He hit Shin-Soo Chu in the butt twice. Same cheek, two times in two innings. So it got to be 6-1 Boston, 6-1 Texas, and Boston with a lot of work to do. Price ended up with only 49 pitches in the book and recorded four outs. But thankfully, J.D. Martinez, a home run in the first. Three-run shot for Bradley in the bottom of the second inning. Hit it right near the foul, or excuse me, right near the flagpole, not the foul pole. That's very different. But bottom line is Bradley is making that patented second-half push a little bit early, right? I mean, it's only game 70 of the season, and he's finally up over that Mendoza line. It took a while, but yes, a 200 hitter now, not 140, not 160, not 180. So you've got a 6-4 game into the bottom of the fourth. Michael Chavis, who hadn't homered since May 22nd, it wasn't a grandiose shot. This one was only 324 in terms of footage, but it counts it at 6-5. Devers then hit the hell out of one, 421 feet to knot it up 6-6. Devers has got to be an all-star. We keep saying this, but you look at his overall stats right now, he's hitting close to 300. He's right up there for the team lead in home runs. Remember, he didn't have one until May 2nd, and he's almost got the team lead in home runs right now. The game-tying home run was from Devers. The go-ahead home run was from Xander Bogaerts, who, just like Rafi, is hitting in the high 290s. What a great year for Xander Bogaerts. I know it flies a little bit under the radar, but just in June alone, he's got three home runs. He's up to 14 for the season, 44 runs batted in. There is not a bad thing to say about Xander Bogaerts. Happy that they gave him the contract. So it's 7-6. They've come all the way back. And by the end of this game, you could say that for the Red Sox, five of their nine hits were home runs. And I don't know about you guys, I got a little sensory overload on home runs anyway right now. Ken Rosenthal did a great piece for The Athletic talking about how just in the last four, going on 5 days, we've seen a 486-foot home run by Ian Desmond. There was a four straight homer game by the Nationals, four in an inning by the Braves, 13 combined by the Phillies and Diamondbacks. This sport is averaging 2.72 homers a game now. The all-time record is 2.5 that was just set a couple years ago. And as Rosenthal points out very correctly, other professional sports are gravitating towards extremes now, too. The NFL is more of a passing game now. People are throwing for 4,800 yards. The NBA is a three-point shooting extravaganza. We get that. But, man, the home runs, five of them for the Red Sox. And you know what? They needed every one of them, so I'll take it. No triples in this one. They've been tripling up a storm of late. What they needed was length from the bullpen to get this one done. And I don't know how. I don't know. I mean, again, you throw 212 pitches, get only four outs from David Price. Good on you, fellas. Shawarn for 2 1/3. Brewer for a third. Travis Lakins is back on the team. He pitched an inning. Marcus Walden an inning. Workman pitched an inning, struck out two, got the win. Matt Barnes pitched an inning, struck out two, got a hold. Josh Smith. Journeyman Josh Smith with the save in this one. And it wasn't easy. He needed 19 pitches, and there was a replay review. Angel Hernandez, to the death of him, is going to be in the middle of a ball game every single freaking time. But the Red Sox with, it's funny, they have this great comeback win, maybe the best win of the year, but in the worst game of the year. Because anything that takes over 4 hours, and you walk eight, and you hit three, that just doesn't sound like a good ball game, does it? But the Red Sox now are even with Texas in the win column. That's their challenge, is to get back to the second wild card spot. And technically, they're kind of tied with Texas now. They're one game back overall because the losses are different. Rangers have 32 and the Red Sox have 34. But at the 70-game mark, okay, I see where this is going. Chavis maybe is out of his slump. Bradley, definitely out of his slump. Just when you were ready to say what's wrong with J.D. Martinez, because he had a four-strikeout game the other night, long home run for J.D. Little bit worried, obviously, about Price, who's now got the exact same ERA that Sale does. Two guys kind of coming in opposite directions here, right? But David, with six runs allowed in an inning and a third, he takes his ERA up to 3.52, and that's where Sale is himself. So I'm going to leave it there. Come back after you hear from Alex Cora. I will let you know what's coming up with the Baltimore series. And then I'm really anxious to get back down and hear at least a little bit of Foreigner. I hope you guys can understand that and completely lose a lot of money at the roulette table. So here's Alex Cora after a really cool, if not very long, win.
They did an outstanding job. We went to some guys that that in different roles today because of the circumstances, and they did an outstanding job. Kept the game in check, the offense. It was fun today hitting the ball at the ballpark, putting good at-bats, and we found a way to win today instead of finding a way to lose it.
Xander's been one of the most consistent hitters on this team this year. How important has that been as the offense has kind of been up and down?
He's a huge part of our offense, regardless if we're hot or not. He's a complete player. He bought into the concept of trying to hit 330, going the other way, and doing damage. and all of a sudden he's hitting 290, 300 with all those home runs, all those doubles. So, you know, I'm very happy for him that he keeps working at his craft and he keeps getting better. And I'm glad that we made that commitment early in the season with him.
After you guys fell behind 4-0 in two breakouts in the first inning, how significant was it to see that JD at bat?
I mean, it was big, but honestly, today we felt that we felt good from the get-go, regardless of the score. Obviously, we want David to go deep and pitch well, but we never felt that we were out of the game. And you know, JD put a good bat, and then Jackie did what he did, you know. But honestly, today it was a different vibe in the dugout, which is good.
Yeah. Well, what did you see from Price there that was going wrong
for him? Location, you know, fastball location. If you look at the video, chewed twice, and Elvis swung out two pitches that were supposed to go somewhere else, and he hit it. So I think it was more about location than anything else. And that's our new closer. Yeah, matchups. Yeah, bullpen by committee. Now Heater felt tightness on his forearm, so he wasn't available. So we had to go to work earlier and Barnsey earlier, and because he's the long man, so he has to be the last guy. And he did an outstanding job.
Is there any chance of Barnes for another inning?
No, not at all. No chance.
Where do you think that came from?
I'm not going to be sarcastic because some people will take it seriously, but I don't know. We put a good game yesterday. It's always offense, you know. I feel there's certain guys that are finding their stride, they're finding their swing. So I mean, it's hard to create energy when you're not swinging the bat well. And, you know, right away, JD goes deep. Jackie goes deep. Rafi goes deep, and you know that's how you get energy. It's through offense, and it felt that they were putting good at bats, good swings from the get go. So that's why. They're checking on him right now. He was in the bullpen the whole time, so they're gonna check on him tonight.
When did he
was going to come in the seventh, and he felt it, so that's when we went to work and we map it out. Yeah.
All right, so there's your skipper. There's your Alex Cora for the day. Now let's get on to Baltimore, where it will be former Orioles prospector Eduardo Rodriguez pitching the opener. And he's gone five innings or more, seven straight starts, 10 of his last 11. You know, his stated goal back in spring training, he wanted to be one of those dinosaurs, one of those guys that can actually pitch 200 innings, since very few people do that anymore. You know what? He's got a shot. He's at 86 and a third right now. And he did get 6 2/3 against the Orioles when he faced him back in April. That's a game where he started very well, kind of wobbled at the end. He did strike out 8 in a 6-4 win. Looks like Andrew Cashner will go up against him. He's 6-2 for a team that's otherwise 15-44. And he may not be able to answer the bell on Friday, by the way. He had what was called a hot spot on his right middle finger last time out. And yeah, you can feel absolutely free to make your own joke right here in this space at this time. The Orioles pitching staff is a league worst 5.52. And poor Doug Brocale, he's the pitching coach. Ugh, what a tough job that is. The one coach we always say hello to in Baltimore is Arnie Baylor, who spent 9 years with the Sox, 2007-15. One of the main mentors for Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. He was the first base and outfield coach, 2013-15. Of course, Tom Goodwin has that job now. Baylor worked with Betts way back in 2014 and 2015, prepped him to take over that full-time right field job starting in 2016. He helped Shane Victorino adapt to right field at Fenway before that. Victorino, you might know, kind of became a mentor to Betts over the next couple of years. So let's see, last game at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, you might remember Jackie Bradley Jr. robbed Trey Mancini with the catch of the year. Andrew Benintendi then hit the game-winning 12th inning a home run. Previous to that, the last time he had actually pulled a home run was to that exact same spot in Baltimore last August. Remember, Andrew, a lot of times homers to left, not necessarily to right. That was Heath Hembree getting a save in that game, and he's been great ever since. Chris Sale had a 14 strikeout game in that one. He's going to go on Saturday. The Orioles do have a couple of interesting guys to watch, I think. I mean, there are surprising Orioles with double-digit home run totals. Renato Nunez has 16. Mancini's got 14. Dwight Smith Jr.'s got 11. Including three against the Sox. Pedro Severino, their catcher, has 8. He had 3 in one game. That was a game played the night his bosses drafted the catcher out of Oregon State, number 1 in the entire draft. And the Orioles had a clear path to what appears to be a modern-day Gary Carter. They got Adley Rutschman. He's the kid from Oregon State. Huge numbers as a Beaver. Switch hitter. Terrific defensively. Grandson of a legend in the Great Northwest. His grandpa is Ad Rutschman, 3 sports star in high school, returned to his alma mater to teach and coach. He won all kinds of state championships in baseball, won in football, went on to Linfield College, and he turned that school into a powerhouse. So a lot of Rutschman love in the Pacific Northwest that'll wander down to Baltimore not too far along, because this guy looks like the real deal. The Orioles had only drafted number 1 overall once in their history. That was 30 years ago. They chose the big righty out of LSU, Ben McDonald, who is now working as a color commentator on the radio broadcast. He was a can't-miss, surefire pick, just like Rutschman. But McDonald had shoulder injuries, never really did ascend to the heights people thought. His career was basically over by 29. But looks like they've got this one right with Rutschman, and that's the biggest thing the Orioles will be looking to build around down the road. There's nothing we got to worry about right now. It's still just Pedro Severino, who's catching a team that's got a 5.5 ERA. Couple of new players, though, since last we saw Baltimore, we should talk about real quick. Keon Broxton, released by the Mets, has certainly fit right in. He's struck out 24 times in 43 at-bats. And they brought up Anthony Santander, a terrific prospect, switch-hitting Venezuelan, has come up at 316 in his first 10 games. But he'll get a dose of Rodriguez and Sale to begin the series. The Sox are TBD for Sunday, and we are DUN with this podcast. We have hit the final toll booth. We are ready to park the car for the weekend. We'll come back Sunday night into Monday morning with a weekend recap. And meantime, we thank you for your patronage. It's called Sox Daily. I'm Josh Lewin. We love you very much. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.